Well, I brought you some visual candy today. The title of our message is Make What? And we're going to talk about the Great Commission. But sometimes in a sermon, the only thing people remember if you did anything out of the ordinary. And I don't imagine that George Crowe is ever going to do this, so I'm going to do it, bring a visual aid that illustrates the point. And in about 5 years, you'll say, well, the only thing I can remember was he had that silly doll with him. But anyway, maybe you'll remember what the point was, too. Now, why do we give these kind of toys to little girls? There's been a lot of talk about what you give children because it seems to promote things. So they say, well, don't think it's such a good idea to give plastic M16s to little boys because then they'll think about shooting people. Well, how about giving, it's kind of dangerous, isn't it, giving baby dolls to little girls? I mean, they might be in too much of a rush to get a real one, you know, and get into trouble someday. Well, no, we don't, you know, you're not going to see any articles on that. Ban dolls, you know, because that's not a good idea. Why do we give dolls to little girls? It's because they have a dream, and we're participating in that dream that one day they would have a family. One day they could be a mother. Now, it's different for little boys, but I do remember one time when Walt was just two, and he had an inherited stuffed animal called Henry Dog. I think it had been Wendy's toy. Then she married a Henry Dog. But one day Walt was sitting there, just 2 years old, holding Henry Dog. This was a very serious moment, and he said, Henry Dog, you've been bad. And I'm going to spank you, and it will hurt, and you will cry. But that's okay, because I love you. And he proceeded to discipline Henry Dog, and then held him for a while. But we give dolls because we have a dream. It's a seed thought of a future joy. And that relates to what we're talking about today with the Great Commission. And I had a card. Here it is. So you can either, if you have a card, you could also, if you have a pew Bible, you can look this up. This is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. So no one needs to be left out. I'll give you just a moment. But this is a passage that's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission, this is at the end of Jesus' life, right before he ascends into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he says he has this one last thing to talk to them about. And it is a command, and we call it the Great Commission. And I did it on cards. Next time I'll do more cards so that we won't miss anybody. But I did it on cards so that you can take it with you. Put it in your Bible. This is God's word to us. I'd like us to read it together now, starting with the word therefore. Ready? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Commission. Many of you are old enough to remember that show that was on, I think, in the 60s, Mission Impossible. And it was always a very predictable sort of a show as far as how it began. Mr. Phelps would go sit somewhere, usually in a car or in an airplane, and he would find a tape recorder, and he would turn it on, and they would explain a situation, and then it would end with something like, your mission, Jim, should you decide to accept it, and they would tell him what he was supposed to do. Then it would always say, in 5 seconds, this tape will self-destruct, and sure enough, in 5 seconds, the whole thing would start to smoke. Well, this is the equivalent for Christians. Doesn't start to smoke afterwards, but this is our mission. This is something he's given us to do, something that he wants us to do. And one of the ways we know that it's very important to him is that he said it 5 times. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and in the book of Acts, stated in different words, emphasizing different things, we find a statement of the Great Commission five times. And in these five statements, we notice there are four strands, things that are common to all five of these, either explicitly or implicitly. And if on the back, if you do have a card, if you'd like to take one of those little handy pens that's in your pew, and on the back of it, you can write down these four words. These are four strands that we see in the Great Commission. The first strand is that it's a command. It's a command, not a suggestion, not a fire sale, not an opportunity, not an invitation. It's a command. Secondly, we see that it has content. It has content. It's not just a feeling. It's not go spread good vibes all through the world. There's a message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's content. There's also a context as far as where we're supposed to do this. All the nations. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature in Mark. The context is all the world. There's a command. There's content. There's a context. And finally, there's a covenant. We're not just, he doesn't just launch us off there all by ourselves. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I promise to be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He will give you power. And that's how you're going to carry this out. There's a command, there's content, there's a context, and there's a covenant. But we want to focus this morning on the command part. Look back at your verse. There are a number of verbs there. Go, make disciples, baptizing, teaching, in that first full sentence. But of those four verbs, only one of them is in an imperative form. That means a command form. Those of you who like grammar, that must be about five people here. But anyway, we'll move quickly past that. But the other three are just sort of supporting verbs. Their participles are like gerunds, like going, baptizing, teaching. But the main center hub verb here is make disciples. So if you have your pen, I want you just to circle that if on your card or in your Bible. Well, I guess you could in the pew Bible. Don't, no, better not. Circle that part. Make disciples. Make disciples. Now, in verse 18, Jesus has already said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. So here we have the highest ranking person in the universe has left us with this last command. Not five, not 25, not 50 commands, one command. And several times I'm going to ask you a question, and the answer is always going to be disciples, okay? The title of the sermon is Make What? And you're supposed to say disciples. So let's practice that one time. Make what? Ooh, you're twice as loud as the early church crowd. Great. What is it we're supposed to make? Okay. So the greatest command from the greatest commander to participate in the greatest enterprise is now in your hands. What's a commission? I looked it up. It's a command to act in a certain manner or to perform a specified task. It's not a suggestion. It's not just an option. Pick one from plan A or one from plan B. If you would like to, on your way out, you can do this. No, it's an order. It's a command. It's a charge. It's an imperative. Now, interestingly enough, if you were just to look around the world, you would think that if you were just going to guess what was it he told everybody to do, you didn't know, but you're just guessing, looking at Christianity, you'd say, I bet the last thing Jesus told everybody was to go build churches. But if we go back to that passage where Jesus talks about that, he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. He says he will build his church. Of course, he uses us, and we're grateful for that. But there is one thing he told us to do. He says, I want you to make disciples, because that's what we put in the churches. What's a church without disciples? Go make disciples. And he also explains how to do it. The two basic parts of making disciples, right there in your verse. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Baptizing, leading them to Christ, bringing them into the body of Christ. And secondly, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Which is harder, as far as having regular children? Well, if you're asking somebody right when the baby's being born, they say, this has got to be the hardest thing. But then there's these 20-something years that come after that baby's born that also can be pretty challenging, where you're teaching them about life and trying to get them out of diapers and into a responsible frame of mind. And it's similar with Christianity. Leading people to Christ, as our church calls it, capturing hearts, and then helping them to grow to maturity, what our church calls cultivating hearts. Someone once said Jesus' last words should be our first concern. But many times, his great commission in our own personal lives ends up being the great omission. It's just one of those things that many haven't even given that much thought to. But we were born to reproduce, to be fruitful, and to multiply as Christians. I turned 50 the other day, and Wendy got this nice big old cake with black and blue balloons on it. I don't know why that some of the balloons were black, but she said, I didn't tell him to do that, and it had a little hump of icing on it that was supposed to be a hill, and it said over the hill and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, she ordered that at the cake department at the store down here on Polo Road. And I can just imagine going into that store, to the cake department, says big letters, cake department there, and going up to the person and asking them, now, is this the cake department? Yes. Well, do you have any cakes? Well, I don't know. You don't know if you have any cakes? No, but let me ask. Marge, do you know if we have any cakes? No, I don't know either. This is the cake department, yes? You don't know if you have any cakes? No. Do you know what a cake is? Well, I'm not sure. Marge, do you know what a cake is? She doesn't know what a cake is either. But we have, we're selling some nice rolls here, and we have a couple of recipe books. Yeah, but I need a cake. This is a cake department, right? That's a cake department. It's amazing how many churches we could go to and ask anyone in the church, because Jesus said the church is to be a disciple factory. This is a church, right, of Jesus Christ, whose last words were to make disciples? Yes. How many disciples you have? I don't know. Hey, Marge, how many disciples do we have? I don't know. No one ever asked me that. Well, do you even know what a disciple is? Oh, that's a good question. Hey, Marge, what is a disciple? Oh, I'm not sure. This should be more intentional, more of a focus in our lives. The one thing he said, make sure you do this while I'm gone. How many of you have had a teenage son? Come on, admit it. All right. One thing that teenage sons are good for is to take out the trash. You're leaving the house. You're not asking much of this guy. You say, while I am gone, I would just at least like you to take out the trash. But you know how he is, so when you get back, what's one thing you're going to ask him? Maybe one of the first things you ask him. Son, did you take out the trash? Hoping he did. Jesus' last word to us, it's not his only word, but his last word to us was, go make disciples of all the nations. Whatever else you do, at least make disciples. Don't you think it's one of the first things he's going to ask you and me when we get there? Well, how did it go? Did you take out the trash? No. Did you make disciples? Who were the ones that you helped come to Christ and help them to grow in their faith? We were born to reproduce. Now, some people think, well, that sounds really hard. And I imagine that's why the CIU seminary is there. Because this is, you know, it's like sending a man to the moon, making a disciple. Well, think about how God has ordained in the universe the human race to be fruitful and multiply. It's just part of the way he has wired you up. That if, when you get to the right place of maturity, and you form have a marriage, and you come together, the most normal state of affairs is that you would have children. Do you feel ready for it? Wife, what's that, you know? You're just, the men are afraid they're going to break them. You know, why don't you hold them until they get a little bigger, you know, where they can put a football helmet on or something. But you just stumble into this about having physical children, and you learn as you go. It's imperfect, but you were made to have children. Now, some people, because of either they're too young, or they'd never have intimacy with someone, or there's some sickness, maybe they can't, but the normal course of events in the physical realm is that we would reproduce ourselves. Do you realize it's the same way spiritually? In the normal course of events, God will increase the number of mature Christians through people like you and me. We say, but I thought that's why the church was there. Do we want in the physical realm, instead of families, take away all the children and put them in big houses where somebody will just talk to them like this, all the four-year-olds. Now, four-year-olds, this is the way, what you need to do when you go into the restroom, and this is how you wash your hands. That would be a very ineffective way, wouldn't it, to raise four-year-olds. It's hard enough when you just got one or two of them, isn't it? You wouldn't want to do it in a mass. And in the same way, God wants all of His children to get to the point where they're touching lives and helping people to grow. What is a disciple? Do you have an answer to that? I brought you another present today for those of you that want it. It's just a sheet of paper. It's not a big present, sorry. They're on these tables here and out in the narthex. You'll recognize which piece of paper I'm talking about because it has two elephants on it, a big elephant and a little elephant, as a symbol of discipleship or disciple making. And on it, it's got verses on the Great Commission, examples of discipleship in the Old Testament, New Testament, 10 marks of a disciple, so that you could just jot that in your Bible, so that if then anyone asked you, what is a cake or what is a disciple, you could say, I have that written down in my Bible. Let me turn to that. I'd love to give you some verses on that. And a couple of good quotes on discipleship. So if it's something that hasn't been something that you've given a lot of thought to, this could be a first step. It's got a handy line on it. You can fold the piece of paper in half, put it in your Bible, take it with you, and look at it this week. What is a disciple? Are you one? Have you made one? Jesus' last command should be our first concern. And it's not something that happens by accident. When we go to the cake department, we don't want a cake that happened by accident. Whoops, what's that? Oh, I think that's a cake. It just kind of happened. No, we want a cake that they thought about, they mixed the right ingredients, and they came out with something that's tasty. I have a friend who was very confident in herself. This was down in Argentina one time, and she was babysitting, and she found out that one of the girls needed to take a cake the next day, and she forgot to tell the parents, and now that she wasn't going to get to take the cake, she said, no problem at all. You know, she gets a recipe book, opens it up, they get started on the cake. And she's never cooked. She was pretty much just into other areas. But she had plenty of confidence. And so there were several ingredients that they didn't have, but she would make substitutions. And at one point, the recipe book fell on the ground. And she lost the place. And she opened up and just picked another recipe and picked up from there. It was the most horrible thing that they made. They didn't tell her, but they just threw it in the trash. They didn't take it to school. We don't want to make disciples that way. There are no whoops disciples. Whoops, made a disciple. It's something that's intentional. It's something that needs to happen because somebody's thinking about it. And it doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. Who hasn't made mistakes as a parent? But somebody's got to do it. I mean, where are we going to be if we don't even try? Now, some people say, well, that sounds awful arrogant. I mean, who am I to go make disciples? Who am I to say, that person's my disciple? Paul said it. He said, I have no greater joy than that my children, walk in the faith. In another passage, he says, I became your father in Jesus Christ because of that special relationship we had. It's not arrogant to say you have a son or a daughter. It's just the truth. And sometimes it's embarrassing, you know, depending on how they're doing. You have physical children, and you admit it. We have physical children by the grace of God and for the glory of God. And the same way spiritually. If the Lord uses us to help somebody else, it's by the grace of God. It's for the glory of God. Sometimes it goes better than others, but that's okay. It's what He's given us to do. This isn't our idea. He said, I want you to go do this. I want you to go make disciples. Paul said it in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. He says, we proclaim Him, warning every man or every person with all wisdom, and teaching every person with all wisdom so that we can present every person complete in Christ. He says, that's my goal. Talk with everybody in the inhabited world about Jesus Christ. I said, Paul, that's already a lot. He says, oh, I'm not, that's just getting started. He says, then I want to help every person grow in their faith until they're completely mature. Talk about ambition. And he says, this I do with all the power that God works in me. Make disciples. So when Jesus left the disciples and ascended into heaven, and they looked at each other to say, well, what do you think we ought to do now? They didn't say, well, I think we ought to do a fishing industry, and we can use the proceeds of that to, you know, form clubs or Bible clubs. They said, no, it was very, very clear. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to go make disciples. And if we get enough of them, then we'll figure out what we're supposed to do with them. But it was very, very clear where to reach and train and help all the people in all the countries of the world. Pretty big ambition. Are you ambitious for your life? You know, you talk about with most people about their lives, and they talk about good things, God-given things, job, family, church, retirement, recreation, finances. Do you have a dream that someday spiritually that you will be somebody special to a new Christian, helping them to grow? Not because you're anybody. You're just giving them what has helped you, and you're doing it imperfectly. But if you've been in the church 5, 10 years, if you've been walking with Christ 5 or 10 years, where's the person that you're helping? What part of this isn't clear? Will you at least commit yourself to learning more about it? Someday I hope to give a series on it. But who are we to help? With whom are we to make disciples? Might be with adults. We're all different. Have different gifts, different calling. But we're all to make disciples. But with whom? Some with adults, some with youth. Some are very gifted at discipling children. Some are called to help, to disciple in a special needs context, or with the deaf, or with prison ministry, or with couples, or with singles. Disciple in what? What are we going to teach them? Well, we're going to teach them the basics of the Christian life. How do you read your Bible? How do you pray? How do you share your faith? How do you discern God's will? We want to teach them, what does the Bible say about dating if they're single, about marriage if they're married? What does the Bible say about raising your children in a godly home? What does the Bible say about being a witness at your secular job? What does the Bible say about facing old age? How are we going to do it? There are many different targets, as I've already mentioned. There are many different methods. But there's always supposed to be the same product. We're supposed to make what? Doesn't say converts. We're supposed to make what? Disciples. We're not just supposed to have babies. Just go out, pass out tracts, lead all these babies to Christ and say, may God be with you, and go out and have more babies. In the physical world, we would look at that person as a cad. You know, you don't just go around having babies. You know, what's responsible? Have a baby, raise a baby into an adult. The same way, we don't want to only emphasize sharing our faith and evangelism. We want to learn how to raise people up to maturity. And you need to find a vehicle for that. I think a good example of that is Pastor Farmer. He's found the vehicle of these missions trips. And it's a wonderful discipling tool. It's not a class, it's an experience. And he goes with them, and then he trains other people so that he doesn't necessarily even always have to go. There are other people that are trained. But it's by taking people on that experience that they grow, don't they? You've seen them. Maybe you're one of them. That's a discipling tool. It's a vehicle to make disciples. It could look a lot of different ways, but the product is always the same. A disciple. One who has learned to obey Jesus Christ in all the areas of their life. You say, well, I'm not called to go overseas. Well, most of us aren't called to go overseas. I mean, how would that be if we all left? And we get somewhere else and we're supposed to leave there too? I mean, we each have some place we're supposed to be. Well, how are we doing where we are? How are we doing just on reaching Colombia for Christ? Do we have it in our mind? Well, we want to see make sure that every person in our Jerusalem has heard the gospel and is growing to maturity. I said, Henry, that's too ambitious. Well, I'm just kind of putting in other words what he said. It's a seed thought, it's a dream that he wants to plant in us. When you put this doll in a little girl's hands, you're not saying, well, by tomorrow I'm looking for some results. You know, no, you're just wanting to practice a while on something that's not breakable. You know, you can't kill a baby doll. So you get them to practice, and it's a lifelong process. But it's still a dream. It's not a burden, it's a privilege. Do you have that dream in your heart? When you look at your life, is that included high on your priority list? Jesus said to go make disciples. He's going to ask you and me personally about this someday. He'll say, tell me about your discipling ministry. I think of the story I heard of a blind African woman who came to Christ during the Congo revival. She was 70 years old and she was illiterate. But she got her pastor to underline John 3:16 in her French Bible. And she would sit outside a boys' school, and as they would come out, she would call one of them over and she'd say, Sonny, can you help me read? Can you read this verse that's underlined here? And they, very proud that they were learning to read and write French, they would read the verse in French. And then she'd say, Sonny, do you understand what that means? And they would say, no. And she would, for the next half hour, explain it to them. 10 associate pastors came out of her work. You are never too old to do this, because it just means having that vision, having that kind of love, learning more about how to do it, and touching lives according to the will of God. Well, I want to give you 4 things that you can do about this. And then as you go out, you can also pick up your little gift sheet with your elephants on it to take home and put in your Bible. 4 things. First, learn more about what the Bible says about discipleship. You can do that with that sheet. You are all very resourceful. You can get on the internet. You can go to a bookstore. There are all kinds of things. Once you've decided you want to know about it, there are lots of ways to find out about it. Second, seek to become a disciple according to the Bible's definition. The first disciple you should make is yourself. Are you one? Third, learn how to help another person become a disciple. It's a learned behavior, just like parenting is learned. Learn how to help someone else become a disciple. Learn how to cultivate hearts. And fourth, learn how to help that new disciple learn how to help others. Become a grandparent. Well, what are we supposed to make? Please stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have a dream for us. You've given us a command to be fruitful and multiply spiritually, to make disciples of all the nations. And some of us will do that here. Some of us will do that in other places. Some of us will do that with children. Hopefully all of us will do it with our own children. Some of us will do it with adults or in different contexts. But I pray that all of us would let this seed be planted into our hearts today, that we would dream great dreams of you using even us to touch this world for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.